Good morning. Welcome to our 11 o'clock service, wherever you are. Last week we were in the St. Simon's Church building. This week we are in my dining room at home. Who knows where we're going to be next week? But this is where we are this week. So if you're joining us, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for watching, but not just watching. Thank you for coming and engaging and gathering in your homes to praise, to pray, and to humbly listen to God's word. And it's wonderful that through technology that we can still do that together. We're aware that this isn't really church. Church is people. Church is you, where you are. But it is wonderful to gather in whatever way we can at the moment. And let me just say how this is going to work. So in a moment, there's going to be a song that the band have recorded. Then Penny Edge has sent in a family focus for the children with a family focus song. So children, if you're watching, great to have you with us. There's going to be something for you. Then we're going to have a look together at the last part of our series in Colossians, the letter of Colossians. There'll be ways in which you can pray at home, and we'll finish with some songs as well. But as we come together, wherever we are in Southport or indeed the world, let me just remind you of who Jesus is as we do that. Verses that we looked at last week from the book of Revelation. Last week we heard Jesus say, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." That was true of Jesus last week. That's still true of Jesus now. The one who's the Lord of history. The one who is the living one, the Lord of today. And the one who holds the keys of death and Hades. He's the one we come to fix our eyes upon. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, wherever we are, we pray that we would be those who are able to engage with Christ now. Father, please, through the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray, the words from your Bible, from your word that we hear, please help us to see Jesus. Please speak to us where we are. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to listen to the bands, and you can join in at home sing, "Come People of the Risen King." Jesus is risen, he is alive. Come People of the Risen King. Let's sing.
Come people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
Good morning, children. I hope you can all see and hear me. I can't see you, which feels very strange. You're probably wondering why I look so silly. So can you guess, what am I supposed to be? Yes, you're right, I'm supposed to be a shepherd. Some of you dressed up as shepherds in the nativity play. Right, now, these days, what does a shepherd do, first of all? What's his job? He looks after sheep, that's right. Okay, and what does a shepherd have to help him these days? Sometimes you see shepherds driving on those little quad bike things, driving sheep ahead of them. And they also have dogs. Now, I don't have a quad bike. Maisie, come here. I don't have a quad bike. We do have a dog, but she's not very good with sheep. Can you say hello, Maisie? No, not really. All right, you go again then. Right, but what they do is shepherds now, they drive the sheep ahead of them and they help, and they have dogs and little to help them, and they have little quad bikes so they can go really fast, all right? But when you have your family Bible time with your mum or your dad, or maybe both, you're going to be looking at a psalm, which is a song in the Bible, which was written by David. And David was a shepherd boy who then became king of God's people. And in his psalm, he wrote that God is like a shepherd, and we are like the sheep, and God looks after us and protects us. I just need to have a quick look at my notes, which are stuck in a tree here. All right. Oh, there they are. They've gone down on the floor now. Never mind. And in Bible times, where David lived, they didn't drive the sheep ahead of them. The shepherd would walk in front. I'm probably going off the film now. And the sheep would go along behind the shepherd, because the shepherd had to guide the sheep to go the right way, because sheep are often very silly, aren't they? And they do silly things and they get stuck and they get lost. So the shepherd would guide the sheep. And David says that God is just like the shepherd who looks after us, looks after his sheep, and keeps us safe. So when you look at that psalm or the song later on, can you have a look and try and find out different ways in which God the shepherd looks after his people? Okay, we're just going to pray before we finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, and that if we follow you, we lack nothing. Help us to learn more about what a great shepherd you are today. Amen.
For today, teach me how to choose your way. Help me lift my eyes to see who you are. You are faithful, always true. Every good thing comes from you. Meet me in your word and help me worship you. It's a new day to sing your praise. It's a new day to walk in your ways. It's turn away from sin and worship you. It's a new, new day to sing your praise. It's a new, new day to walk in your ways. It's a new, new day to make you know. It's a new, new day to see your King. The gift of time you give, one more day for us to live, one more chance for us to call on the name of Christ the Lord. It's a new, new day.
Well, we're going to turn to God's Word now. So we're going to look at the last bit of Colossians, letter to the Colossian church that Paul wrote. We've been going through it all term. Annie's going to come and read for us. So Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 2 to 18. If you've got a Bible, grab a Bible and turn up Colossians chapter 4, verse 2.
Hi there. So that's Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews amongst my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans. And that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Peace, grace be upon you.
Thanks very much, Annie. You may have heard children come in at that point. We're just going to keep recording. We'll see what happens. Could be like that video from South Korea a couple of years ago. If you've got a Bible, please keep it open at Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to pray as we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and active. Thank you that wherever we are now, with your word open, you will be speaking to us by your Spirit. Father, please give us ears to hear, hearts that are moulded into love for Christ, and wills that obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the message is to self-isolate, isn't it? What is the campaign? Well, it's almost like a campaign, isn't it? The slogan that we see daily on those briefings from the government, it's stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. That's what we're seeing all around on adverts, online, on posters. And that's absolutely right that we do that, isn't it? Absolutely right that we want to be doing those things at the moment. But there's a great irony in that when we are self-isolating to save the lives of others, actually, we can then become very focused on ourselves. We can become very inward focused. Life becomes all about us. Actually, it becomes about these four walls. It becomes about my family and all about me. So my concerns just sort of kind of shrink down to myself, and I'm like, have I got a cough? Is that a cough? Is that coronavirus? Have I got enough milk? Have I got enough bread? I need a haircut. Well, how am I going to get a haircut in lockdown? I'm bored. What can I do to... And actually, self-isolating, we can become very inward focused, that life becomes all about me and my household. And I'm sure we stay globally connected with social media. But even then, it's a global connection that I govern, down to my choice of what I click on or what I choose to listen to. So there's great danger that in self-isolating, we become very inward focused. It's all about me. It's all about me and my household. Well, those verses that we've just read from Colossians, they're really a great antidote to that. Because in this time of lockdown, they keep us outward looking. They keep us focused on other people. If you've been with us, you know that the message of Colossians is that Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He is the Lord of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things. He's the full revelation of God. He's the one who has reconciled his people to God the Father through his death and united people to himself. And therefore, Paul is saying, look, this is how wonderful Jesus is. So stick with Jesus. Continue with Jesus. And there is, there is a temptation with that, isn't there, to think, well, it is all about Jesus and me. Me sticking with Jesus. And so Paul ends his letter to Colossians with an outward focus, looking to the concern of others, both within the church and outside the church. And I think they're a real help. They are a real help for us at this time of lockdown to keep us outward focused. And so the first thing that Paul says is to be devoted to prayer. As those continuing with Jesus as Lord, let's be those devoted to prayer. Have a look at verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, Paul's speaking generally about prayer at that point. And he's saying that word, devote yourself to it. You know, prayer isn't something to be that you flit in and flit out of. It's a conscious effort. Set aside time and do it continually. Devote yourself to this activity, says Paul. And the manner of that is by being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful could mean watch for the Lord's return. The Bible, the New Testament speaks of being watchful in that sense. Could mean that. I think here in this context, Paul might just be meaning devote yourselves to prayer and watch for answers to prayer. And when they come, be thankful. He says, be those who are devoted to prayer. And in verses 3 and 4, we get some specifics about for those outside the Christian community. But I think verses 7 to 18 give us a hint at what we're to pray as well for those inside the Christian community. Just have a look at verse 12. I think Paul says, be devoted to prayer. Let's be devoted to prayer for each other. Have a look at verse 12. We get a model of what that looks like. Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So here we get Epaphras, who is one of the Colossians, but he's not with the Colossian church. He's now with Paul, who's in prison. So separated by miles and miles, physically separated. And what's he doing? He is wrestling in prayer. Here is somebody devoted to prayer. He's wrestling in prayer for the Colossians. And what's he wrestling in prayer for? That you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's wrestling in prayer with the heartbeat of the letter of the Colossians. He's wrestling in prayer that the Colossians stand firm in Jesus and grow in Jesus, that they grow in maturity. He can't be with them physically, so he's devoting himself, he's wrestling in prayer for them, that they stick with Jesus, that they grow in Jesus. And that's hard work. And Paul says in verse 13, I vouch for him, Epaphras, that he is working hard for you. How's he working hard when he's physically separated? Well, it's by his prayers. He's working hard, he's devoting himself, he's wrestling in prayer that these Colossian brothers and sisters stand firm and grow in Christ, mature, fully assured. And you see how that speaks to us now. Separated physically, isolated, but our concerns, our prayers are not to be all about us, but about our brothers and sisters. Yes, we can ring each other, can't we, on the phone? But actually, we're still physically separated. And Paul is saying, God is saying, let's devote ourselves to prayer, let's wrestle in prayer for one another, that we might be those who are mature and fully assured in Christ. Tell you the story of a missionary called James Fraser. You may or may not have heard of him. I didn't until the last couple of weeks. And James Fraser was a missionary with the China Inland Mission in the early 20th century. And so he went to a part of China called Lizhuland, which is several hundred miles west of Wuhan, in the foothills of the Himalayas. And this is early 20th century. And he went there and he planted some churches in lowland villages and in highland villages in Lizhuland. And one winter, the snows came and he was completely cut off from these new Christians in the highland villages. There was no way of getting up there. And initially he was frustrated, he was angry with God. But then he realised, well, actually God is sovereign over all things, just as God is sovereign over this pandemic, and it's for a reason. And he worked out that it would have taken him 3 to 5 days to visit each of those highland villages where the churches had been planted. And so he thought to himself, well, what I'm going to do while I'm cut off from them is devote those 3 to 5 days to praying for each village. So he spent 3 to 5 days praying for each and every village. Spring thaw came. Of course, he dashes up from the foothills to see how these new Christians have fared. And to his joy, he heard about those isolated times of prayer and Bible reading. And actually, he concluded that the villages in the Zululand highlands had fared much better spiritually. They had grown more in Christ during that winter than had the lowland villages where he'd carried on his visiting and where he carried on his church services. Pretty much all our activities have stopped. You're sitting at home, you're listening to this, or you're watching this, and it's very easy, isn't it, to be anxious for people, for our brothers and sisters. Will we stand firm as we're not able to meet physically, as we're not able to do all the things that we want to do? We've got a bit of extra time on our hands. Well, let's be those who devote ourselves to prayer, that wrestle in prayer for one another, like Paul asked the Colossians to do, like Epaphras was doing for the Colossians, like James Fraser did for those new Christians. Of course, I'm not saying we shouldn't ring rounds, or we shouldn't meet when eventually we come out of lockdown. But in this season, whilst our activity is on hold, let's be those who devote ourselves to prayer, who wrestle like Epaphras in prayer for one another. And maybe, just maybe, when we come out of lockdown, our local church, our national church, our global church, maybe in a more healthy position than when lockdown began, because we've been forced to pray. We've been forced to devote ourselves, to wrestle, to struggle, to work hard in prayer for one another, to stay faithful to Christ and to grow in Christ. So I want to urge you to do that. And you won't simply drift into that. We won't simply drift into devoting ourselves to prayer. And we think, well, I've got all this time on my hands. And we won't use that to pray unless we plan to pray. We'll drift into other things. So I want to urge you, and God is calling us, God is saying to us, devote ourselves to prayer. This week, plan in a time to pray. If that's not your regular habit, plan in a time to pray for brothers and sisters that you know in the church, to devote some time to praying for your Connect group. Or if you normally lead a youth group or a children's group or an adult group that isn't meeting, use that time when you would have been meeting to pray for those. Devote yourselves to prayer. Wrestle, struggle, that we may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. If praying on your own is new to you, I'm going to put some resources out this week to help us to be people who devote ourselves to prayer. That's the first thing that Paul says. Be devoted to prayer for other Christians. But also, Paul goes on back in verse 3 of chapter 4, to be devoted to prayer for gospel opportunities. We're to be devoted to prayer for other Christians, and we're to be devoted to prayer for gospel opportunities. Let me read verse 3. Paul goes on, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul is in prison, and he's in prison and he's praying for an open door. But it isn't an open door so that he can be free. It's an open door for the message. An open door that he and his fellow co-workers may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That's what he's praying for. That's what he's asking the Colossians to pray for. And we've seen what the mystery of Christ is. We saw it back in Colossians 1, verse 27. The mystery of Christ, the mind-blowing good news, the promise that Jesus not only has reconciled Christians to the Father through his death, but he comes to make his home within them. Paul says, the mystery of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. that Christ, having saved us, has come to live with Christians, and the guarantee that that is, that now that he's living within us by his Spirit, we will never leave him and he will never leave us. He will see us through into eternity and be with us in eternity. So death has lost its sting. We are safe with him. What a message. What a message of hope to be proclaiming at this time for a country in lockdown facing a pandemic. And it's proclaiming that message of hope, that message of hope of Jesus and of... there we go, what did I say? That message of hope, hope in the face of death, hope within us, as Jesus lives within us, that Paul says to the Colossians, pray for an open door for that message, that it might be proclaimed, and pray for him that he might preach it clearly as he should. And notice he's not saying, Colossians, you pray that you proclaim it, but rather pray that I, Paul, proclaims that message as I should. Pray for an open door that people get to hear about Jesus and the hope he offers in the face of death. And that, again, is what we should be praying for in light of this pandemic. That it will be an open door for people all over the world to hear the life-saving, hope-giving, eternity-changing message of Jesus. We're to devote ourselves to pray for gospel opportunities, to pray that people get to hear of Jesus. Yesterday, a friend told me about a pastor in Croatia. He's a pastor of a church in northern Croatia, a church of maybe 70 to 100, a similar size, I guess, to St. Simon's. And in the past week or so, that country of Croatia has faced a double disaster. Not only is it facing the coronavirus pandemic like everybody else, but Zagreb, the capital, was hit by the worst earthquake it's experienced in 150 years. And so that pastor of that small church preached a sermon on live stream, and 1,300 people tuned in to watch, and another 300,000 heard him on the radio. And the next day, the editor of the city's newspaper got in touch with him to say, will you write an article in our newspaper about death and resurrection? I mean, that's glorious, isn't it? And that is what we're praying for at the moment. This pandemic is awful. It stinks. Death stinks. Suffering stinks. It's unnatural. But let's pray as Paul asked the Colossians to pray, that God may open a door for our message through this terrible time. Let's pray big prayers. Let's pray that the testimony of hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of people around the world will be, I first became a Christian. I first trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Saviour in my own living room during the lockdown of 2020, during the coronavirus pandemic. That's what we want to be praying, isn't it? That God would use this pandemic to open a door for people everywhere to hear about Jesus in a new way. As people wrestle with their own mortality, with their own fear, and are suddenly open to hearing about Jesus Christ and the hope that he offers. Let's devote ourselves to praying for that opportunity. Let's devote ourselves to be praying for those who preach, those who are evangelists. Let's be praying for churches. Let's be praying for our mission partners, for New Hope Church in Sierra Leone, for Wellfield in Leyland, for Zambezi Mission, for Helen Sheridan, for open doors, for people there to be preaching Christ clearly in the face of a pandemic. And look, if you're tuning in and you're not part of our regular church family at St. Simon's, or you are somebody who says, well, actually, I'm not yet a follower of Jesus, I want to be open and honest. This is what we're praying for you. We're not seeking to get you to join a club or to indoctrinate you or to manipulate you. Christians are simply people who have found hope, a wonderful hope, in Jesus Christ. And we want to share that hope. We want as many people as possible to see how glorious and wonderful Jesus Christ is, and to share the hope that we have, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If you're watching and you think, well, actually, you know, I don't have a hope, or I don't have a certain hope in the face of this pandemic, get in touch. Speak to a Christian friend. Go on our website, find our contact details, get in touch. We've got the technology. If you want, we can do a little Zoom course that looks at the hope Christians have in the face of coronavirus. We are to be those who are devoted to pray for one another, to be those who are devoted to pray for gospel opportunities, and finally, we're to be those who are ready to speak. Now have a look down at verses 5 and 6 again. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The vast majority of you listening are not called to preach. You're not called to preach in the way that Paul was called to preach, or his fellow gospel workers were called to preach, or in the way that pastors up and down the country are preaching on Sunday or whenever they've recorded their service. But every Christian is called to live for Christ and to be prepared to speak for Christ. Look at verse 5. Paul says, be wise, Colossians, in the way you act towards outsiders. Be wise. Wisdom. It is that concept in the Bible of living rightly before God in his world. Or we might put it in the language that we've seen in Colossians chapter 3. The Colossians are simply to be who they are in Christ. To live out their new identity. Both with Christians. But Paul says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. I think he's saying, don't have double standards. Don't live one way with your Christian community and another way with those who aren't Christians. Be who you are. Live rightly before God, before a world that isn't Christian. Live for Jesus. And then make the most of every opportunity. People notice something different about the way we live. And when the opportunity comes to say something about Jesus in a conversation, take that opportunity. Verse 6, let your conversation, your normal day-to-day chats, that's where you're to take those opportunities to speak about Jesus. And that doesn't mean being weird as a Christian. So someone says, well, it's been a lovely week, hasn't it? It's been glorious that the sun's been out this week. And the Christian says, yes, the sun. Yeah, the sun, yeah. It's been blazing this week, hasn't it, in the sky? Like the eyes of the Son of Man. Yeah, we heard a sermon about that last week in Revelation 1. And here are all the points. That's weird, that's not conversational, and that's preaching. Okay, that's not what Paul is saying here. As we live for Christ, we're to take the opportunities that come in our normal, everyday conversations. Make the most of every opportunity, says Paul. And let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Full of grace. Christians aren't meant to be argumentative. We're not to be argumentative. We're to be full of grace. We're not seeking to win someone around through grinding them down through the power and force of our personality. We're to respect people and to treat people with dignity and love. And our conversations are to be salty. Salt makes something stand out, not to be bland, but to taste different. So an example might be, I've taken an opportunity in a gracious, salty way. In normal times, somebody says to you, you go to church, you must be very religious. And to make the most of that opportunity, you might say something like, well, actually, I'm not religious. Jesus says something very different to religion. That's two sentences. And that has taken an opportunity and you've said something salty. You've said something that stands out. Or how about, again, in the current situation, maybe this is happening on WhatsApp or Facebook and, you know, a friend or a family member is admitting that they are actually a little afraid at the moment with all that's going on. And how do you respond? To miss that opportunity and to not be salty just sort of carries the conversation on. But you could say, you could be honest and say, well, actually, you know, I'm a little scared or worried too. And what is it that you're particularly scared or worried about? And they might say, well, actually, it's not about me. It's about my family getting ill or dying. And you could respond, well, yeah, you know, that's a battle that I face too. But, deep breath. You know, we were singing with our kids this morning. He's got the whole world in his hands. That old Sunday school song, don't know whether you know it. And that's what I'm finding hope in at the moment. That I know Jesus and he's got everything in his hands. The conversation might move on. Or your friend, family member might pick up on what you've just said. But that's an opportunity that you've taken. And you've said something distinctive. You've said something salty in a gracious, loving way. And that is what Paul is calling us to do. And again, at the moment in this pandemic, there are opportunities all over the place in conversations. And often it is asking a question of somebody to find out what's really going on. And then just to be able to say a little something about your hope, about how you're finding trusting Jesus at the moment, or what Jesus, or something you've read in the Bible. There are opportunities all over the place. It may be directing people and saying, look, I heard something. I read an article that talks about the Christian hope in the face of coronavirus. Article on our website at the moment, Hope Beyond Coronavirus. It's a good place to point people. Or a sermon online to share. Let's be thinking, let's be people who are ready to speak, to be thinking now, okay, how can I take those opportunities? And again, not to manipulate people, not because we're trying to force people to believe, but because we have found hope in Christ, the mystery of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we want to share that. Look, I've been a little more chatty because I'm sitting at my dining room table, so probably a little longer than I anticipated. Hey, you're at home. You're not doing anything. So, what has Paul said? Let's be people who are devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer for one another, that we stand firm at this time. Devoted to prayer for gospel opportunities, that God might open a door for the gospel through this pandemic. And let's be people who are ready to speak, who are ready to make the most of every opportunity that comes up, with conversations full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses, which just feel so timely, such a timely word from you, how they turn us out from ourselves at the moment. Father, please would we be people who do devote ourselves to this activity, to prayer. Would we be those who in a new and richer way devote ourselves to prayer in the coming days and weeks, prayer for each other, prayer for others to know Christ at this time. I pray that we be people who are ready to speak, to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way to speak of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pause the video. There'll be some ways in which you can be praying for our church family and for those outside our church family that'll be on the screen. I encourage you to do that on your own or with those who you're watching with at home. But before we do that, let me lead us in the Lord's Prayer, and you can join in with that if you want. So we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to encourage you to keep on praying, either on your own or with people in your home, and then we're going to sing two songs.
Song be heard everywhere.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Do join us again next week, 11 o'clock. We'll have this another service uploaded to our YouTube channel. Why not, if you're in a Connect group, if you're part of the regular St. Simon's Church family, why not start chatting now or this afternoon, maybe via WhatsApp or ringing one another up. Your Connect group leaders will have some questions that you can be chatting about off the back of Colossians chapter 4. And share ways you can be praying. You can be praying for one another at this time to stand firm. If you would like to know more, or you'd like to join the St. Simon's Church email updates that go out every day, every couple of days, please get in touch. You can contact me, andy.liggins@stsimonssouthport.org.uk. That's andy.liggins@stsimonssouthport.org.uk. Or go on our website where you can find contact details. We'd love you to be in touch. We're all looking for contact at the moment, so don't be afraid to be in touch at all. But thank you again. Look forward to seeing you next week. Let me say one final prayer. Heavenly Father, please would we be those who stand up firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And please would that be true of us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.